We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Now, from Learfield.
Pistols firing! Touchdown, Oklahoma State!
This is the Oklahoma State Cowboy Insider. Here is your host, Dave Hunziker.
Dave and Robert with you, another Cowboy Network Insider podcast. And what a difference a week makes, or two weeks in this case, between Kansas State and Texas. And obviously a great win and simplified things on offense and defense, and there were other reasons for the Cowboys' success, but I think that played some big role in it, as well as other things.
I just like the fact people are happier.
They are aren't they?
It was, you know, and every time you go through a rough stretch like that and people get frustrated, it reminds you that this fan base has been spoiled. I mean, they are used to winning now, and there is no going back on that. And Mike Gundy occasionally will mention to his players, "We got to feed the monster," and they've got a monster now in Stillwater. In fact, it's kind of funny. I heard this statement earlier today. There's a whole generation of fans coming up that have never known Oklahoma State not to go to a bowl game.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, and the student body that's in school right now. Oklahoma State has always been, at least a competitive football team.
My daughter, for example, would fall right into that as a senior. Never, she's only known Oklahoma State to be good.
Yeah, never seen it when it was 10-1 or in the throes of probation.
They can't relate to that.
No, cannot.
Interesting, yeah. And of course, it's a great problem to have when you expect to win versus the words of Terry Don Phillips. One of the interviews I did with him when I first got here is, "We don't expect to win."
Yeah.
And that's all changed, which is a good thing.
It is.
And there was a change in attitude as far as the team was concerned. As I mentioned, there was some things that were simplified on offense and defense that made things better. There's a whole lot of things that came together against Texas.
I think you take the scheme, and I'll take the emotions, because I think they blended together with Texas to put this team in a different place mentally going forward.
Well, Coach Gundy said he felt like they cut back offensively and defensively around 20%. And, you know, a slow football player in many cases, and people talk about players looking flat, I would wager that two-thirds of the time, if not more, when that happens, it's a confused football player. The scheme is too complicated. There's too many defensive calls in. There's too many plays in the game plan, et cetera, et cetera. Cowboys, you know, Mike Gundy figured that out, so they scaled things back. And, again, about 20%. It helped Taylor Cornelius. I think one thing they've realized with him is the more reps with plays he gets in a given practice week, the better he is. So cutting back the plays gives him maybe three reps in practice each day on a certain set of plays versus two. Makes a big difference. Defensively, I think Malcolm Rodriguez being healthy was a huge piece in the puzzle. But again, not as many missed assignments. As a result, only five big plays for Texas. So that's, I think, the part of it that's schematic. And then there's an emotional part to this, too, that you were referenced in a brief conversation.
And if fans remember, in Manhattan, Kansas, I did a, you know, I did a segment, or not a segment, but a cut-in from the sideline in the second half, where I mentioned guys, because I try and give you fans an idea of what it feels like with the team down there. And I try and be honest. And I don't want to overly criticize, but you know, a lot of times when OSU's down by two scores or more, I'll come on and say, guys, everybody down here's pumped up. It's okay. Because Mike Gundy really preaches attitude and body language. Well, I came on with one being accurate at K-State in the second half, and I used the term flatline. It was dead, flatlined on the sidelines. And I think you guys could see it from upstairs press box.
Sure,
so, what I equate that to is a lot of times teams lose their primary goal. And at Kansas State, the loss in that game really knocked Oklahoma State from any chance of getting to the Big 12 championship game. I mean, there's still a mathematical chance, but let's be honest.
Not realistic.
And I think that hurts the players. They've been working with that goal in mind since the end of the Camping World Bowl. I think you have to readjust. As a coach, you have to find things the players feel are worth playing. So I thought homecoming and playing Texas, a team that a lot of players on this team really get fired up to play, I thought those two things merged at a great time, along with the schemes you mentioned, loosening up the brain a little bit so guys could go play ball and relax and have more fun. And I think all those things combined. Plus, I think this team understands now going to a bowl game and keeping that bowl streak is really important.
Yes.
They don't want to be the ones to let it down. I think they understand every Saturday is a chance to make a memory they'll keep forever or play a game that'll become forgettable. And so I like where this team is mentally, Dave, rest of the way. I think they're okay.
Yeah, I think they're much, much better than what they were. Facing a Baylor team that is trying to have its own resurgence. You know, they are in the hunt for a bowl berth, although they're finishing schedules pretty hard. They still have Iowa State and Texas Tech, Iowa State in Ames and Texas Tech in Arlington, home games with TCU and, of course, Oklahoma State on Saturday. But the interesting thing about them is, with what they do on defense, Robert, as aggressive as they are with their blitzing and moving at the snap, they'll challenge Oklahoma State in an area in which the Cowboys at times have had some difficulty. And so we'll see how far the Cowboys have progressed offensively, dealing with a style of defense that likes to just take all offensive rhythm away from teams. Of course, in the process, they give up big plays, and that's really almost how you have to beat them. You hit big plays, you big play them to death.
Yeah, and I think, too, that they're going to apply pressure. And the good thing for a defense when you apply pressure, and we know this from Oklahoma State because that's what Jim Knowles and his system's about. If you apply pressure at the right place, it's a big play.
Right.
If you apply pressure at the wrong place and the offense finds an opening or finds space, then generally you're one missed tackle away from giving up a big play. We've seen that happen with the Cowboys. So you're trying. I think this, and this is what I said earlier, I put the onus on Mike Yurcich. He is now in a heightened chess match defensively and offensively with Baylor's Phil Snow, their defensive coordinator. He's got Mike Yurcich needs to try and figure out, okay, where is he going to come with pressure? And where do I need to go to find space and give my guys like Hubbard and Hill and Tylan Wallace? That's the other thing I'm anxious to see about Saturday. Because I heard Matt Rhule in his news conference mention Tylan Wallace three times.
Right.
Well, when a head coach mentions a player on the other team three times, guess what he's telling his defensive coordinator? Don't let that Wallace kid beat us. So Phil Snow now is coming up with a bracket, and he's coming up with some double coverage plans. And he's going to say, okay, we can't let Wallace beat us. So this week, if your name is Stoner, if your name is Woods, if your name is Johnson, if your name is Johnson, because I can't wait. I want to see Braden.
Yeah,
the other Johnson,
fast.
And he got a catch against Texas. I want to see what he can do. If your name is Woods and Jelani, there are going to be some opportunities for those guys in the passing game to catch some big balls and make some plays, because they're going to do everything they can to take Tylan Wallace out of this
well,
thing.
Well, and if your name is Hill or Hubbard,
that's
because
good
that's
too.
One less guy in a run game. Here's something interesting. I didn't mention this earlier. I'll give you the notes on this. I went just for fun. I looked at Justice Hill and Tylan Wallace and looked at the percentage of offensive production that they've given the team. It's 45%. 45% of the offensive yards by Oklahoma State this year have come from those two guys. That is the highest for a Cowboy team, if I remember my notes correctly, since 2011. Now, how about this? The three teams, if I remember correctly, that have exceeded that number, 2011 with Justin Blackmon and Joseph Randle.
Joseph Randle.
2010, which was the highest, almost 50% of the offense that year.
Same too.
From Kendall Hunter
and Justin Blackmon. Hunter and Justin Blackmon.
And then 2008, Dez Bryant and Kendall Hunter. Those were three big-time offenses. And what it comes down to is get your best players the ball.
Should go back
and they
to 88.
Make plays. No. I only could go back 10 years. That's all I could go. So I'm sure 88 was.
I would love to see Barry and Hartley Dykes.
Oh, it'd be huge.
Oh, my gosh.
But my point is that and here's it's a cause and effect, though, too. If you do something to try to stop one of those All-America-level players, you do it with the potential and the likelihood of sacrificing the ability to stop the other. That's why the 1-2 punch with the tailback and wide receiver is so effective. You try to do something extra against Wallace, it opens up more opportunities for Hill. You try to do something more to stop Hill, it opens up more opportunities for Wallace. And that's what you've seen in the dynamics of the offense. Because you look at other seasons, even and Washington and Rudolph, their percentage was high. I think last year it was 41%. But other seasons, that percentage might be down in the 30s. And guess what? Oklahoma State wasn't as good. It's an interesting deal.
And a funny thing is when I look at an offense and a formation and whatever, even now, broadcasting and watching, a lot of times the first thing I'll look at is, okay, how would I feel looking at that at middle linebacker, which is where I played? Doesn't look like it, but they did. I look more like a center or guard now, but
that's all right.
All apologies to the Johnny Wilsons, Deontay Noels, and Marcus Keys of the world, but they actually look a lot better than I do. Marcus Keys, he's a built son of a gun.
Yeah,
anyway, I think of middle linebacker, and when I looked at that formation last week with the two backs, Hill on one side, Hubbard on the other, pick your poison, man. That is a formation that's going to cause defenses problems before the ball's even snapped, because you are going to start thinking about how either one of those guys can kick your butt speed-wise and the ability to make plays. So the more they use that, the more I like it, because I think that's I think that plays havoc with the minds on defense with those two guys back there. And then you've got the receivers you got to worry about as well.
Yeah.
So, but – I think I like this setup. I like this setup a lot. Not just this week with Baylor, but I like the setup the rest of the way. I'm not saying this team will go to Norman and beat Oklahoma. They'll be a heavy underdog. I'm not saying they'll win the last home game with West Virginia. That'll be a tough game. But I would be shocked if anybody run rules this team the rest of the way. I think they will be highly competitive in every game, and I think they'll have a chance to win two or three of these down the stretch starting on Saturday in Waco.
Well, in a quick peek at Baylor offensively, when they run the ball well, they win. They average 219 yards per game on the ground.
Too.
And Jalen McClendon, the North Carolina State transfer, it looks like will make his first collegiate start as a transfer quarterback, because he hardly played ever at NC State. Charlie Brewer in concussion protocol, who's been the two-year starter for Baylor, it looks like he will not start.
They're hoping he'll be available, but that's even a question mark.
Yeah.
So
it changes a bit, because obviously McClendon's 6'5", what about 220, probably more of a of a pure running threat, although Brewer runs it pretty well, too.
Yeah, Brewer runs okay. They don't change their offense, but I would suspect they'll be, whether it's called or whether it's uncalled, in the form of scrambles. I think you'll see a little more quarterback run than you would if Brewer were back there.
So, I'd say you're probably right. You have a fun Baylor story.
Yeah, I was going to throw this out there.
It's homecoming at Baylor this week.
For OSU fans, if you're down in Waco overnight, get up early, go downtown, and watch their homecoming parade. Because, hey, we all know Oklahoma State has the best homecoming in the world. And they do. And Dave's alma mater, Mizzou, is really, really good. I've been to Mizzou homecoming. But Baylor is probably number three. Now, here's the difference, Cowboy fans. Where the house decorations and the walk around on Friday night is the huge deal in Stillwater, because you got a great area around campus where the Greek houses are, and they can build those massive house decorations, and it's a blast. And you got the Strip and University Boulevard. It's great. Baylor doesn't have as good a setup for that on campus. What they put their money into is the homecoming parade, and it's really good. The floats are huge. Think Animal House on steroids. Well, except for the Deathmobile.
Yeah.
That doesn't usually appear, but it's big. I mean, the streets are lined. There's lots of clowns and, I mean, dignitaries. It's an election year, and this is the weekend before Tuesday voting day,
yeah,
so
right.
there'll be a lot of candidates in the parade. But it's a big time deal, and I remember going to that as a kid. My godmother was the dean of women at Baylor, Virginia Crump. I remember going one year. My dad took me to the parade, and then we went straight to the game. Baylor always would play A&M or Tech, whoever they had home for homecoming. And they had a fullback, Baylor did. He was my first kind of football crush, Pinky Palmer.
Pinky Palmer.
And Pinky Palmer ran up the ramp after the game was over, and I was there hanging my head, you know. Hey, I wanted his chin strap so bad, and I'll be darned if Pinky Palmer didn't throw me his chin strap. And I will tell you, for years, that was a cherished possession. But like all childhood cherished possessions, I have no idea where it is now.
Yeah. Oh, who knows? It's off in the Pinky Palmer chin strap abyss.
Yes.
Wherever that is.
Baylor homecoming is a good event. If you're there early enough, you might want to check the parade out. And it'll be early, I'm sure, with the 11 o'clock kick. And then head over to McLean Stadium, and hopefully Cowboys will do us well. And we'll get that sixth win. I got to admit, it's been a while since I've really seriously thought about win number six.
I hear you. That
but
was
this year, yeah. Because a couple of weeks ago, we weren't sure.
No, it's changed a lot. It's
yes.
been a season of lots of change. So we'll hopefully have a good broadcast for you starting at 9 a.m. with kickoff just past 11. We'll talk to you then.
This has been the Oklahoma State Cowboy Insider. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.